First week was Elijah. Last week was Elisha. This week we're going to go to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And we're going to preach a message, the Lord willing, and with His help, entitled, When You Can't Make It Rain. When You Can't Make It Rain. And I hope it'll be advantageous to you, helpful to you, encouraging to you today. But we're going to preach a message, When You Can't Make It Rain. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Heavenly Father, today I pray, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay to bring your word forth in a way that would be beneficial to the hearers. In a way, Lord, that would penetrate even the hardest heart today. In a way, Lord, that would cause us all to know you better. In Christ's name, amen. Prophet Elijah was sent by God to Ahab. How many know that? He sent him to Ahab. Ahab being probably one of the most wicked kings Israel had ever known. Married to one of the vilest women that this world has ever known. Jezebel. But God sent Elijah to Ahab to tell him that there would be no rain for 42 months. 3.5 year drought. That's a very arid part of the world anyhow. A place that you have deserts and dry places a lot. When there is rain, it's a very dry place. But he had sent him to tell him that the drought would come. He had no idea that when he told Ahab that there'd be a drought, how that drought would affect his life. Now, he was a man of faith, a man that trusted God, and a man that was called of God to bring sometimes a hard word. Later on in the word, we see where just after that he kills the prophets of Baal. He calls fire from heaven, and they declare that God's God, and then he has them slay the prophets of Baal. So he wasn't afraid to do what God told him to do. But yet he was a man with like passions like you and I. He was a man who could become afraid. He was a man that shudder at the thought of Jezebel chasing him. He was a man that, you read later, he ran and hid in the wilderness because he was afraid of her. Some of you might say, why did he run and hide and be afraid of her? Didn't he trust God? Yeah, but God didn't give him a word to stay. Think about that. God didn't say, stay and take her on, Elijah. He didn't give him a word, so he did what any normal person would do. He got away from that person who was going to kill him. God didn't tell him to stay and go to death. Come on now, think about that. But Elijah was a man like us, a person like you and I who had normal fears, who had doubt at times, who wondered where God was at. So we're dealing with a man who, although he had made this declaration in only a few minutes, was going to spend 3.5 years waiting on an answer from God, waiting for God to speak again, waiting for God to move in a miraculous way. Although many of us believe in God's miraculous power, we have to admit that sometimes we've spent more time waiting on our miracle than receiving it. We've spent more time actually waiting on it than we have actually seeing it. We wonder, where's God at? I'm in this problem. I'm in this situation. Everything's going bad for me. Where's God at? I need a miracle. Have you ever felt that way? I need a miracle and I need it now. I need an answer and I need it now. We've all been that way, but sometimes we have to spend a lot of time waiting on God. And when we wait on God, we need as much instruction in waiting as we do in miracles. We need to know what God wants us to do while we're waiting on our miracle. You see, during the drought, Elijah was refreshed by a brook called Cherith. Now, you understand this was a tributary brook, a creek, if you would, in Oklahoma terms. It was a creek or a crick. Well, you can go to a crick or you can have a crick in your neck. It just depends on how you're thinking about it. But he was by this brook, this creek, and it was a tributary creek to Jordan River. So if there was a drought, this creek, not being spring fed, was going to dry up eventually. But that's where God sent him. So he was at this brook, and he was supplied with water from the brook and supplied with food by the ravens. Eventually this creek dried up, and the crows retired from the fast food business. Eventually it happened. From a human's perspective, that seemed, they needed rain, and that seemed to be what they needed was some rain so that the earth would replenish, so that the brooks would be full, so that they would have water in their wells, so they could grow crops and grow their, have food again. But it seemed that's all that they needed. But Elijah, he may have asked for rain, but God had a reason why it hadn't came yet. First reason, and it's not even part of my notes, is that God said it would be 3.5 years before it came. Remember that. God gave a timetable, but there was a waiting period, and there was a lot of suffering going on while they were waiting. I mean, you would like to be drinking from a brook and being fed the finest fare that they could be stolen from Ahab's table, and then all of a sudden have it dried up. He said he ate well. He brought bread, probably, one preacher says, probably from Ahab's own table. Fly right into the king's kitchen and steal the king's food and take it to Elijah the prophet, whom the king blamed for all his problems. When it was the king who caused the problems because of his rejection of Almighty God. Anyway, Elijah discovers some truth that we too must acknowledge. First off, at times, we need more God's direction more than we need his mighty acts. We need direction more than miracle. We need to hear from God. It says in verse 3 and verse 4, it says, "Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook." And then it goes on and says, "And it shall be that you'll drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Feed you there. God has a there for you sometimes. He has a place that you need to be. And he's instructed you where to go, but you gotta go there. You can't go where you want to go. You can't assume you know better. You've gotta go where God wants you to go. We must not let ourselves be overwhelmed by the need. Sometimes there's a great need, but God is speaking to you. This is what I need you to do. Be still and see that I am God. I need you to go there, and there's where I will sustain you. There's where I will comfort you. There's where I will feed you. There's where I will meet your need. There's where I will instruct you until it's time. You see, when we concentrate more on the need, we may mess up what God says, or we may miss what God says. We either mess it up or we'll just miss it completely. When we don't do what God says and concentrate, when we concentrate so much on our need, and I know some of you have some great needs today. Some of you have some physical needs. Some of you have some financial needs. Some of you have some relationship needs. Some of you just have some need. And some situations, and you wish God would hurry up. And God's saying, be still. God's saying, go there. Go there and I'll take care of you. Go there and I'll sustain you. Go there and eventually I'll speak to you. Go there and eventually I'll meet your need. And he's expecting us to do what he says. So we first need God's direction. The things God does for us may not last forever, but what God says to us will have a lasting impact on our lives and for generations. God may be instructing some of us to do some things that will impact not just our children, but our children's children's children. I can guarantee you, way back in the 1800s, when my grandpa was being raised up, he was born in 1898, I think it was, or 1899. And he was raised up in a drunk's home. He was raised up in a bar owner's home over by Keokuk Falls, Oklahoma. My great grandfather owned one of the first saloons on the North Canadian River, just north of I-40 and Prague exit. And my grandfather's raised up on the dusty streets of Keokuk Falls, Oklahoma. His dad, not only a bar owner, but a murderer. But somewhere along the way, my grandfather found Jesus. And because he found Jesus, it wasn't when he was real young, but eventually he found the Lord. Now he could, in heaven, he's there, he can boast of preacher grandchildren. He can boast of saved grandchildren and saved grandchildren's grandchildren. But see what he did way back then when he heard from God, and then all the years when he was serving God and all the years he was being faithful to God, George Davis taught his children and his grandchildren how to be faithful to God and how to listen to the voice of God. And because of that, his generations are still serving God. If he would have refused to hear God, refused to do what God said, and refused to raise his family up for God, may not have been saved today. I may not be behind this pulpit today. And I know there's people all over the county says, I wish he wasn't. Somebody sent me a text this week and said, there's so-and-so over here. They don't like you. They can't stand you and Sister Stone. I said, well, you know what? I don't know why that is, and I can understand them not liking me, but I don't understand them not liking my wife. But you know what? Regardless of that, it ain't affected my life any. Don't make me any difference. I want them to like me. If they don't, I can't help it. I didn't do anything to them. So I'm going to move on. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing because I love God. I'm not going to let what the world thinks of me affect me serving God and give up on God and quit preaching because they don't like me. I like me real well. I don't understand why they can't like me. I've been around me for 62 years and I found out I'm a pretty good old boy. I hope you meant that. You know what? If Elijah would have let what Ahab and all the rest of Israel thought about him, he would never have said anything to start with, and he would never went to the brook. He would have went and found some other avenue. But because of what he did, we have a legacy. His history is written down in the Bible. He left us a legacy of how to serve God. So we must understand that what we do may leave a lasting legacy and may affect the generations to come. But if you don't do what God says, you're going to also affect the generations to come. So first off, that at times we need God's direction. And so the key to receiving God's direction, from God, is being committed to what he says. So we need his direction. So if you want to find out, you got to be committed. The key is to be committed to what God says. So many people are not committed to what God says any longer. They'll read God's word and they maybe get a personal word from God through a gift of a word of prophecy or word of knowledge or something like that. And then they say, oh, well, I don't believe it. Or, well, it didn't happen. So it must not have been God. I mean, they blow it off, so to speak. They just, you know, immediately or not immediately, maybe after a couple of days or a couple of weeks or a couple of months. If Elijah had to blew it off in a couple of days, a couple of months, couple of years, at 3 years, he still wouldn't have seen what God told him he was going to see. It would not have come to pass in his life. because he would have said God's word's not important. So if we have to be committed to what God says, at the moment you may be unable to make it rain. You right now, you may not be seeing the need met in your life, and you're thinking, I need a blessing. I need God to do something in my life. I'm drowning here, and it's not in water, it's in dust. These problems are drowning me. I need some help. You may not be able to make it rain, but you can set your heart to hear the instructions of the Lord. 20-something years ago when we started this church, if I would listen to the naysayers, we would never have begun this church. But I heard God's voice. I heard him speak to me specifically before I even begin to preach, you're going to be a pastor. I come home after on my job and I tell my wife, God's calling me to preach. And she said, ain't going to happen. And I said, he's calling me the pastor. You're going to do it without me. If I'd have listened to her and others who said, Stone ain't got it, I'd have never done anything. I'd have kept being a church member because I love the Lord, but I would never have stepped out on faith. Elijah would, if he'd have listened to the naysayers, you see, you may not be able to make it rain, but you got to set your heart to hear the instruction of the Lord. I prayed, I'd seek God. I'd make my kids stay out of their bedrooms so I could listen to music and lay before the Lord to hear his voice. And we did that for 4 or 5 years. That long? Yes, that long, seeking God, wanting to know, what do you want me to do with my life, Lord? Going through the ups and downs of life and saying, Lord, what do I need to do? And God would speak to me, finally spoke to me, start a church. Like, what? You're going to pastor. Okay, Lord, that's good. I'll go try out for this church over here. And I'll go try out for this. I tried out for church in Mustang, Oklahoma, and they voted me in. I came home and said, what in the world have I done? That wasn't God. And it wasn't. They voted me in, gave me the key, and sent me home, said, come back a week from Sunday. We don't want you here this Sunday because we're going to send the other pastor away. I came home, prayed about that. I put the key in an envelope with a nice, pleasant note, called my state overseer and said, I ain't taking that church. It's not God's will. Come on now. You got to hear God's instruction. And I didn't take the church. They sent me up to, before that, they sent me up to Perkins, Oklahoma, a little old church just south of the Canadian River. And I went there, and the lead deacon of the church took me to his house and said, you're the man. You're going to pastor our church. We'll vote you in tonight. I said, you ain't vote me in tonight. I come up here just to preach for you. I didn't come up here to try out. But you're the man. I said, no, I haven't heard from God. So I said, I'll come back again in a few weeks. And we came back again in a few weeks, and they tried it again. I said, it ain't happening. One lady come to me and said, if you'll take the church, I'll stay. But if you don't take the church, I'm leaving. I said, you ain't putting that pressure on me. I'm not going to take it because you're going to leave. If I don't, I got to hear from God. And I hadn't heard from God. I think 2 weeks later, at 35 years of age, my wife found out she's pregnant with Stephanie. You talk about a turmoil in our life to take two kids and then have a baby in a trailer house that was 12 foot wide by 36 or maybe 40 feet long. I wouldn't move my family to Perkins, Oklahoma until I heard from God. I didn't hear from God. You gotta hear his instruction if you want his blessing. You gotta hear it. Elijah was not going to get rain at this time. He just wasn't going to get the rain at this time. He had to wait for the rain. How often have you become frustrated concerning something you needed from God? How long? I've been frustrated before. I know you have too. I need something and I'm frustrated because I can't get it. But you see what you need to do? You need to cast off the frustration. You need to cast off that frustration and purpose to hear what God is saying. Don't get frustrated. Be still. Hear what God is saying to you. You see, if you turn over to, I won't do it, but if you go over to the 19th chapter, I believe it is, of the book of 1 Kings, you'll find out that Elijah at that place is hiding out on a mountain. And at that mountain, he's still trying to hear from God. Still needing to hear from God. And at that mountain, there was a storm. There was an earthquake. There was things going on, but it wasn't God. And all of a sudden, God spoke, and it was in a still, small voice. We look for God to do something monumentous. We look for God to do some great shaking. We look for God to send somebody to speak into our lives, when really God is waiting for you to be still and listen for His still, small voice as He speaks to your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, He doesn't just speak to preachers. He doesn't just pastors, prophets, evangelists, apostles, or teachers. He doesn't just speak to those who are prominent in Christianity. He speaks to everybody that will hear His voice. All of us. I got to slow down. I start to quit yelling. I'm losing my voice. It ain't really preaching unless you're yelling, though. And, you know, you got to do that stuff for real people. So I'm not a real preacher. I don't do that. Nothing wrong with it, but I shouldn't even went there. Instead of rain, Elijah got a word. He thought he needed rain, but he got a word. How many of you have needed, thought you needed a miracle, then God spoke and said, go here. He thought he needed rain, but God spoke to him and said, okay, the brook's dried up, the bread has ceased, go to Zarephath. I need you to go over here now. I had you there, now I need you to go here. Come on, church. God will speak to you if you listen to Him. Obeying God, he went to the widow's house. He went to that widow's house and unlocked God's provision for his life. He not only unlocked God's provision for his life, he unlocked God's provision for that widow's life. If he had stayed by the brook, he may have starved to death. That widow would not have been able to bless the prophet of God. She may have starved to death. And then when her son died, he would have died. But instead, Elijah was able to take him, lay upon him, breathe life back into him by the word of the Lord. But if he had stayed, instead of going there, God wouldn't have made the provision for his life. His faith, his patience, and his endurance all grew as a result of hearing God's instruction. Church, you're hearing God's instruction today. You have it in His Word. Let your faith grow. Come on now. Let your faith grow. Begin to learn how to have patience and endurance as you walk this walk and fight this fight of faith. It's not all going to be glory. Sometimes there's going to, I don't remember how I describe it. I've described it a certain way one time. But it's like taking step after step. You're out here and nothing's happening, but you keep taking a step forward. You keep moving forward. Well, Pastor, seems like every time I take a step forward or two steps forward, something knocks me back. Well, keep taking the two steps forward and take that one step back if necessary, but you're still making progress. Don't quit. Don't give up on the brink of your miracle. You see, when the Lord's not moving in the way that you would like Him to move, consider that this may be a time to sharpen your listening skills. Well, Pastor, God hadn't done this for me. I'm struggling. Well, begin to listen. May I say it like this? And it's going to sound crude to you. Shut up. When you pray, sometimes you need to shut up. That sounds ugly, I know. Pray, seek God, make your petitions, cry out to Him, but then be still. Shut up. Listen for a little while. Let Him get a word in edgeways. Quit thinking you've got to have everything to say. Stop thinking you have to have the last word. Let God speak. I feel this morning, church. Let God speak. If Elijah had kept talking and babbling and complaining, God could not have spoken. He had still been by the brook, starving to death, with no water to drink. He'd have lived, 7 days max? Without water, you can't live. You can live without food a while, but you can't live without water. May I suggest to you, you can't live without the living water and the bread of life. Go where it's at. You see, you need to sharpen your listening skills. Why would you say that? Because miracles may be approaching you from a different direction than you anticipated. You may be looking for it over here, and God's trying to, He's bringing it from over this direction. You may be thinking it's coming from this person, but God has set somebody else up to help you. God has opened another door for you. You got to listen to what God has to say. He may be planning to do more for you than you originally thought. He may be fixing to open up a door for you that you never imagined would be opened for you. But you can't make it rain, but He can. There may be an area of your life that's needing adjustment that you never even recognized. You didn't know that God would even knew about that, but God was getting ready to make an adjustment in your life and touch you in a specific area. Sometimes you need more than just another miracle. Sometimes you need more than just another financial blessing. Sometimes you need more than just another spiritual blessing. You need an adjustment in your spirit that only God knows about. In other words, you take an old transistor radio, and I used to lay at night back in the 60s with a transistor. I'd go to bed with that right by my ear. I'd turn over KOMA or W. No wonder I know them songs. I'd go to sleep with them in my ear. But every now and then that transistor, you had to adjust it, you know, to get back in tune. Maybe that's what we need to do, be hearing God's voice, and we get to where it's a little bit fuzzy. A little cracking going on, a little noise that you don't want to hear. Get that thing, take that dial. I know that's a foreign to you kids today, but take that little dial on that little transistor and get it right back where it needs to be so you can get that station clear again. What was it, 50,000 watts, KOMA, reached from Oklahoma all the way to the West Coast. It went from Oklahoma City right into Shawnee, 322 West 35th Street in Shawnee. Every night. That's why I know too many of them old songs. But God's trying to do something for you. God's never surprised by the events in your life. He always has a plan. I got to hurry. I'm bogging down again. You know, that drought didn't catch God by surprise. He ordered it. When we face apparent need, it usually throws us into a panic mode. Have you ever faced a need and you think, "Where am I going to do? What 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 am I?" And God's not panicking. Why are you panicking? Well, He's God, Brother Dennis. He's God. He's got it made. Well, He's your God. You got it made. You're serving the only true and living God. Why are you panicking? Trust Him. He don't want bad for you. You can trust Him. He's in control. Reposition your faith. Retune your transistor radio. Get back in tune with God. He's going to make it for you. You see, when you see that God has a plan, you're going to do two things. You'll see beyond what is seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You'll reposition your faith. In other words, faith is seen beyond what is seen. You can't see it coming. You can't see it happening. But God's already in control of it. The answer's on the way. It's already on the way. You see, in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we won't read there or even go there, Elijah taught this lesson to his servant. The Syrian armies had surrounded them and had surrounded Israel. And the servant was panicking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? They are about to destroy us. They're going to annihilate us. What are we going to do? And Elisha declared, "Do not fear." You may be surrounded by your enemies today. You may be feeling like you are boxed in. You have circled your wagons, and the Comanche Indians are going around and around and around, and they're hooping. Oh, you're not Comanche, are you? And they're hooping, and that's probably not in the way they used to do it. And they're hooping. I watch too many Westerns. And they're hooping, and they're hooping, and they're hollering, and they're shooting their arrows, and your wagon canopy's on fire, and it looks like you're down for the count, and nobody's going to come. I want to tell you something today. God, open your eyes up and see that they are fatter for you are more than they that are against you. The cavalry's on the way, and that cavalry is Jesus Christ and the angels of heaven. Come on, church. Give God a praise. We panic. I can see John coming now. Not John the Revelator, John Wayne. And he's got his cavalry hat on. And he's got his sword out. He said, "Don't fear, I'm coming. That's Jesus, the captain of my soul. Don't fear, the answer's on the way." We panic. But Elisha's servant couldn't see the unseen. And so Elisha said, "Open his eyes, Lord." And God opened his eyes, and he saw this enormous army encamped round about the Syrians. And God then destroyed them. The enemy may seem like he has you trapped, but he don't. God has trapped your enemies. No weapon formed against you, child of faith, can prosper. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Deuteronomy 28 verse 7 says, "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways." God's going to cause it to happen. God never plans for you to be destroyed. Quit worrying about being destroyed. Quit worrying about being cast down. Quit worrying about being broke. Quit worrying about just losing everything. God doesn't have those plans for you. And so what if you do lose it all? It don't matter. You're still God's child. What matters is that you're going to heaven. Bible says there's a lot of afflictions for the righteous, but the Lord delivers the righteous out of all of them. That's not the exact quotation from the King James Version, but you know you got the picture. He delivers us out of them all. God never plans for you to be destroyed. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, it says this, "For I know the thoughts that I have for you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." God's on your side. When you can't make it rain, walk in the direction that God has told you to walk. Elijah was told to go there and dwell. Go to the brook and be there. Then he was told to go over here. And he went over here. If God's told you to go here, told you a direction to go, go. Walk by faith, not by sight. God has an expected end, and it's for your good. Elijah discovered God's plan was in place a long time before the brook and the ravens. Before they failed him, God had already had a plan in his life. And Elijah already knew he could trust God. You'll see, when you see the significance of obedience, The Bible says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Obedience brings miracle. Obedience will bring favor. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. God will do what only He can do, but He will wait patiently on you to do what He commands you to do. If He's told you to do something, He's waiting on you to do it so that He can do what He wants to do. He's waiting to see your obedience. Why haven't I had my need met? Well, from what I wrote down there and from what I think I'm going to suggest, that maybe you need to obey. Do what God's told you to do and trust God for the outcome. He wants to do it for you. James says this, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. 1 Samuel 15:22, already quoted it, but it says to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of the rams. It's better to obey than any outward sign of worship, service, or personal sacrifice. To obey. God's looking for children to obey Him. To do what He says do with an expected outcome. The blessing of God. One portion of Scripture says the blessing of God makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. God wants to bless you today. The rain did eventually come, but God determined to meet Elijah's need a long time before that first drop. He determined to meet his need. May I suggest to you today that you don't sit by that brook feeling sorry for yourself and discouraged by your surroundings. That brook may be dry. Don't sit there. Get up. Hear what God has said. Seek Him for a direction. And walk faithfully in that direction. You'll see great things happen in your life if you'll walk in the direction God has instructed you. You may not be able to make it rain, but you can find joyful fulfillment in what God has prepared for you in life if you'll just do what His Word says do. Amen? Amen. When you can't make it rain, follow God. He's going to meet your need. I found it to be true. My whole life, found it to be true. God is faithful. I use my family, for example, a lot. I know that. And my youngest daughter did something silly this past week, and she told her mom about it. And I said, "What's going on?" She says, "I ain't telling you. You'll use it in the pulpit Sunday." And I was trying to think of what it was a while ago. I don't think she ever did tell me, but I was hoping I could kind of figure it out, because I was going to use it this morning if I could. But I was thinking back about 1962, and that's a long time ago, I know, where most of you were born. I almost can't remember that far back, but my daddy wasn't a Christian. He wasn't saved. What about 62, Mother? 62, 63, somewhere in there. And my daddy's always a good provider. Didn't have good jobs, but he's a good provider. He took care of us kids. He made sure we had clothes and shelter and food. That's a good provider. Now, we didn't have the stuff my uncle 3 miles down the road gave his kids, because he was a wealthy man. But my dad was a good provider. But my dad was unsaved. But I remember that probably a Thursday night. Might have been a Sunday night. I remember it like it was yesterday. My daddy got up from his seat, walked down to that altar, knelt down there and repented of his sins, cried tears of remorse. I remember that like it was just yesterday. You know what I did? I got up, run out to that 1953 Ford, pulled down that sun visor, took my daddy's Lucky Strike cigarettes, throwed them in a ditch. So I knew daddy wouldn't need them no more. Well, I was wrong. God saved him, but he didn't deliver him that night. But I was excited. My daddy's a Christian now. And you know, his language cleared up. And that was real bad about cursing. But his language cleared up. His attitude about life changed. He never was that bad. I always loved my daddy. He was a good man. But everything changed about him that day. Everything. He was a new creation in Christ Jesus. And after that, he tried his best to walk according to the Word of God. He left a heritage for us kids to follow. He's got four kids. He's got three preacher kids in his family now. Daddy never preached a day that we know of. Preached when he's out on the truck. To all or every truck driver and every truck stop he was stopped at, he would talk to them about Jesus. He's got three preacher kids, two boys and a girl are preachers today. My younger brother speaks. I don't know if he's a preacher, but he speaks at a prison ever so often. Tells about Jesus. If he had not listened to the voice of the Lord that night when he called him home, called him to come be a Christian, there again, although my grandfather got saved, my mom was a Christian because of that. Who knows what direction us boys would have went, or my little sister, if we hadn't had parents who listened to the voice of the Lord. It makes a difference. Stand to your feet.